The turkey has been stuffed and eaten. Most of us probably are done with our leftovers. If not, we're wishing we were. As we were leaving my mom's house on Friday, heading home, my sister quickly reminded my mom, it's time to take down the fall decoration on your door and put up a Christmas wreath. We are getting ready for Christmas. And that means a lot of things are going to change over the next few weeks. I mean, you'll see tinsel being put up in many places. You'll see decorations of green and red and gold and silver. There are Christmas cards that have to be mailed. There are Christmas specials that we have to watch on television. There are parades that we have to go to. And then there is our all-time favorite Christmas tradition, and I'm not real sure why it's a Christmas tradition. Shopping. We have our lists, the people that we plan to buy gifts for. We have lists that we make of things that we want for Christmas. But you know, no matter what it is about our Christmas list, you always have that person. You know who that person is, don't you? It's that person on your Christmas list that you feel obligated or you're responsible for buying a present for that you have absolutely, positively no idea what to get them for Christmas. Or you'll ask and they'll say, I don't know, or I've got everything I want, or I've been blessed. And you know, you just don't know what to get that person for Christmas. But you know, we have that on our list, but this leads me to another question. This is Jesus' birthday as we celebrate it. This is the day that we are supposed to be commemorating when Jesus came to this earth. And so I want to ask you, what do you get the God that created everything? What do you get God for Christmas? I mean, it's not like I can run down to Walmart and just pick up a tie and give it to him and that'll be okay. I don't think he really would care much for a tin of popcorn. Somehow, my feeble efforts just don't look like they would be very good to get God for Christmas. So we're going to spend the next 2 weeks talking about doing a gift exchange with God, and we're going to start with the idea of what am I supposed to get for God? And that brings us really nicely to the little drummer boy and to Aaron's gift. You see, because Aaron found himself in a desperate situation, he was supposed to go to this newborn king, and he was supposed to ask something of this king, and what was his concern? I have no gift. I have nothing to offer. So Aaron went, and well, Aaron offered a gift. And I think it is the perfect gift for us to get God for Christmas. You see, the first thing about Aaron's gift is it sought salvation, didn't it? I mean, the whole reason Aaron was there, make no mistake about it, is because Aaron wanted something, didn't he? His little lamb, Baba, had been hit by a Roman chariot and was near death. He had tried the world, didn't he? He went to the earthly king and said, Majesty, will you please heal my lamb? And you know what? The world couldn't offer him anything. And so out of his desperation, he was told to approach Jesus, seeking salvation. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, this is what Jesus says. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I read that verse, and Jesus tells us something important that's important to him that he wants for Christmas. Jesus desires that we come to him. He doesn't want us to simply stand back and look at the manger. He doesn't want us to simply stand back and view the scenery. He wants us to actually come to him, to come close to him. And then he says, I don't want you to come empty-handed. I want you to come bringing something to me. Now, we usually think what we're supposed to bring to Jesus is gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? But what does he say bring? He says, bring your burdens. Bring those things that are weighing your life down. Bring those things that are causing you distress. Bring those things that are beating you up. Bring those things that have broken your heart. Bring those things that you are struggling with. Bring your burdens. That's what God wants from you Christmas. God wants you to come to Him and bring everything that you have, all of those things that are troubling your life, and leave them. That's what He wants for Christmas. Of course, there's another part of Aaron's little gift that we see there. You see, it was offered in faith. Aaron had been on his own for quite some time. If you're familiar with the story of the little drummer boy, by the way, I'd like to let you know, the song came before the Christmas special. It wasn't the other way around. The Christmas special was based on the song. But if you're familiar with the way they told the little claymation story, Aaron was a little boy that lost his mom and dad when they was very little and very young, and they were killed by a couple of bandits, and the only thing that he had left of mom and dad was this drum. So Aaron had been on his own for almost his entire life. Aaron was desperate. I mean, the only friends he had was a donkey, a camel, and a sheep. He had grown up with them, and they had stayed with him. And as Aaron began to drum, you have to understand there were no guarantees. I mean, it's not like there was any promise that if you do this, then that is what you will get. That Jesus will heal your lamb. He could have drummed his heart out, and the sheep still could have died. But Aaron, well, he was coming, and he was offering this gift in faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, we hear this. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for, and the assurance about what we do not see. You know, in a few weeks, we're going to have a tree set in our house. Most of us will. And around the tree will be various little packages. And we are hoping above hope in those packages is something that I want, something that I desire. And during the weeks leading up to Christmas, especially the younger you are, then those gifts become more attractive. And, okay, some of us are kind of older and we still do it. And we have to pick them up and we have to shake them. And we have to see if they rattle. Some of us like to even sniff them and they just have a smell inside. Maybe there's a fruitcake in there for me. I don't know. But we're looking for something in this gift that we have no idea what's in it because it is completely unseen to us at this point. We have to have faith that the person that is giving it knows something about us. We have to have some confidence that the person that is putting it out there is looking out for our best interest. And well, Aaron was actually approaching this little baby and he had hope. He had hope based on the word of this king that he had only met one other time in his life that Jesus could fix what was broken. He desired the assurance that although he didn't understand what he was looking at, he didn't understand how a baby could be special, he was looking for the assurance that it wasn't going to end badly for him. You see, Aaron, as he came and he stood before that particular moment at that particular time, Aaron was expressing exactly what faith is. I don't understand it. I don't get it. But I need it. I desire it. I want it. I want to feel the hope. And you know what? That's what God wants from you for Christmas. God desires for you to have faith in your life. God desires that you come to Him not with all the answers. God desires that you come to Him not because you understand it. Do I understand everything there is about God? No. But God desires me to just come boldly and simply right there before Him. That's what God wants from you for Christmas. Aaron's gift, it was an act of worship. There was no bow. There was no wrapping paper. Aaron didn't have time to go out and shop. But you know what? Aaron's gift, it was selfless. I mean, Aaron didn't play for people. Remember earlier in the story when there was gold on the line and he could actually earn a living doing this? Aaron didn't want to play for people. They had to paint the fake smile on his face just to make him appealing to the crowd. Aaron didn't do people, but at this point, Aaron was playing for one person.
I love the way that they demonstrate him as he's going through this. He starts out with just a simple drumming. And as he begins to embrace who this baby is, the eyes close and he's just playing from his heart. He's playing selflessly. It's an act of worship. He's looking, at that point, he's not looking for anything from himself. He is adoring Jesus for who he is. Aaron's gift is humble. He didn't have a 24-piece orchestra sitting behind him to fill in the gaps. He was an instrument of one, humbly offering what he possibly could to Jesus. And I'm sure there were some people that were sitting there in the audience that were thinking, yeah, it's just a little drummer boy. The gift that he's given means nothing compared to the bag of gold. Nothing compared to the urn that was given to him with the myrrh. Nothing to the big sack of frankincense that was laid before this newborn baby. What could this little drummer boy be thinking? This isn't a gift fit for a king. But it is. Because he was humble. And you know what? It was simple. No pretense. No big extravaganza. Just one boy, one drum, two drumsticks. That was all he had. It was just so very simple and uncomplexed. He didn't have to think about it. He didn't have to worry about it. He just went to Jesus. It came from within. It wasn't something that Aaron had to make up as he was going. He didn't sit down there and have a lyric sheet that somebody had given him. It had just come from within, from what he was feeling at that moment. You see, Aaron's gift, it was real worship. John chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." At the time when Jesus made this quote from John, all of the worship fell through Jerusalem. If you were going to worship God, you had to pack up your family and you had to go on a holiday trip and go down to Jerusalem and sit there at the temple and worship. And if you didn't worship there, then it wasn't real worship. And so he got into this conversation with this woman that said, "Well, is that the way we have to worship? Is that how we're supposed to do it?" And Jesus saying, "You know what? That's not how it's going to be." You see, worship comes whenever we come face to face with God in our life. Worship comes in the reality that we need God. Worship comes in the idea that we need to have a relationship with God. It was real worship. As this little boy stood there drumming this drum, all he cared about at that point was Jesus. What can I offer you? Do you approach worship this way? Do you come to worship to get out of it, or do you come to worship to put into it? Let's be honest. Most of us come for what I can get out of it, what I can take home with me to fill me. But real worship? Well, real worship is sacrificial. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship." Now this is significant to the audience that Paul is talking to because they understand what sacrifice looks like. They understand what it means to sacrifice a body because they were Jews and they had been doing this their entire life. This is the way it works. You get the best of the best. You get the lamb or the sheep or whatever, the ox or whatever it is that you need to offer at that point, and you haul it down to the temple and you get in front of the priest, and the priest kills it and takes it and lays it up on an offering and he burns it until there's nothing left. That's a sacrifice. But now Paul is coming along and he says, "You know what? Forget the sheep. Forget the ox. Forget the grain offerings. Forget all of that just for a moment. I want you to consider yourselves the sacrifice. I want you to consider yourselves the living sacrifice. I want you to offer who you are back to God." And he says, that is true and proper worship.
And you know what? That's what God wants from you for Christmas. God desires that you have worship. That's what God is looking for. But this little gift that Aaron offered, well, we have to remember it was wrapped in love. Now, it began with the love for another, the little lamb. But you know what? He approached Jesus and he found him beautiful. His focus changed. As a matter of fact, when he was done playing, did he get up and look for the lamb? No. Actually, the king come over, hey, drummer boy, look. He was now so intently focused on who the person of Jesus was, his focus was completely changed, and well, the drum that he played, as I told you, was the last gift given to him by his mom and his dad. And you know what he played? He played not because he was commanded. You see, but love something doesn't mean that we come and we do it because we're commanded. We're not just coming because there is some thou shalt come here on Sunday that we're supposed to do. If that's why we're coming before God, then we miss the point. Aaron came not because he was coerced, not because
he was offered some great reward. He came not because he was coached. Nobody sat down and told Aaron, hey, look, this is how you're supposed to approach Jesus. You start off with this number, and then you do this number, and then you do a little change, and you want a rhythm time change here, and you want to do this. And if you do it by all the right steps, then Jesus will accept what you're giving him. Nope. He wasn't coached. He played because he was compelled. As should we be. He came before that little manger, and when he came up there, he had no idea what he was going to do. He had no clue what he was going to accomplish. But as he stood there, he's like, I got to do something. How about I just play? How about I just do what I can do? How about I just accomplish what I can accomplish? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says, each of us should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, a lot of times we read this verse when the church is in financial trouble and we're trying to inspire people to give more money. This verse has absolutely nothing to do with money. Because it has absolutely nothing to do. God doesn't need your money. But what does he say? Decide in your heart. Decide on your inside that this is what I can offer God. This is what I have to give back. And when you decide in your heart that this is what I want to give God, then you know what? That's what God wants from you for Christmas. He doesn't want some big, overblown, extravagant thing. He just wants what's in your heart to give back to him. How impressive would that be if we each took that as kind of our mantra throughout the Christmas season? I am going to give back to God from my heart. Now, maybe that'll be small and simple. Maybe God has blessed you richly and you can give something bigger. But here's the deal. Did the baby value the king's gift more than he valued the drummer's boy gifts? No, absolutely not. You see, the size is irrelevant. God's interested in why did you give it? Did you give it because you love me? Did you give it because you were compelled by what you see in me to give back to who I am? Or are you just giving it because it's the expectation? You're worried if you don't, then maybe God won't smile favorably on your life. Are you just providing the token? See, when God receives that kind of gift, he has some things in return that we get. And we can just kind of watch the story unfold. He gives a restored life. Now, we see two lives restored here, right? We see the physical life of the little sheep. But whose life really got restored there? The drummer boys. It was Aaron's life that got restored. Because Aaron, his entire life, had lived it in hatred and bitterness and anger for all the things that had happened to him in his past. And now here he was, and somebody loved me just for who I am. Somebody cared enough about me. And so Aaron's life began to restore. And when his life restored, he had a restored heart. There were two words that were used to describe Aaron's heart after he finished his little drum performance, and that was joy and love. Before it was anger and bitterness, now it is joy and love. That is what was filling his heart at that point, simply because he came and he gave to God, and his heart was restored. There was a restored happiness. No more painted smiles. Aaron had his own smile. A smile that came from within because he now understood who God was. There was a restored vision. I cut the clip a little short because I didn't want to steal my thunder, but the last little line of that clip, maybe I should have done this as a trivia question. It's the last line in the entire little cartoon. It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." You see, before Aaron couldn't see who God was in his life. To him, God was somebody that cared absolutely, positively nothing about who Aaron was. Because you know what? Aaron had lost his family. Aaron had lost everything. He had spent his life wandering all by himself. And now all of a sudden, with this pure, simple offering, Aaron was restored. He could now see God for who he was, and you know what? That's what God wants for you for Christmas.